At the moment of conception, the radiant energies which enter this umbilical structure, which you cannot see, are actually a form of the superconscious of this girl. Later on in her earth life after being born, this superconscious will assume a much closer and more personal relationship. However, she may be somewhat of a problem child to her parents. She is quite likely to be ethereally minded and do much daydreaming and seem to have less cohesive relationship to her environment than is normally exhibited. Although the room which you see before you may contain a thousand or more small lives, I can say that this is but one very small part of many similar nurseries, not to mention clinics, hospitals and rest homes of all kinds which are not only on Venus but on a countless number of similar planets throughout the vast number of universes. I will not attempt, at this time, to give you facts which may pertain to such similar structures and institutionalized centers of therapy which exist in some of the spiritual planes, which you call the higher astral realms. The bodies contained in this room happen to be only the very few which I, my brothers and sisters in this particular household, can help. Someday you will learn, and see a little more clearly, the importance of the law of harmonic relationship that helps to separate and integrate the many spiritual functions which you will find in your various spiritual evolutions. So until the time when I can unfold more of these wonderful and mysterious facts of life, may we rest in peace. Malva, Chapter 17. Again we come with our love from the planet Venus. I believe we were discussing the topic of self-conclusion and we had been in the ward where you saw a few of those in the suspended state awaiting a new opportunity. So while we are still on this subject of nursing, let us go into another section where we can examine another type of self-destruction, which is a form of partial spiritual suicide. We will re-enter the long corridor and pass over into the larger doorway you see just before you, and while we are about to enter, may I say that you are quite likely to be reminded of some large hospital back on your earth plane. There are, of course, no operating rooms where the physical bodies are dismembered and torn apart. Instead, we use our mind forces in directing radiant healing energies, but see, you are in the ward. I see you are very much amazed at the size and large numbers of what looks somewhat like the familiar hospital beds in an earth hospital. But come, let us step closer to one of the nearby beds. Before you is a woman whom we shall call Susan. She passed from the earth life but a few weeks ago, and as you see, you would think her more dead than alive. In contrast to the pure psychic bodies of the suicides, the people in these many hundreds of beds have all retained the semblance of their physical form. This is because in their passing, which was quite normal in most cases, they have retained in a somewhat shell-like fashion the hard thought form energies, the word hard being a relative term. Looking at Susan more closely, you will see she is apparently without life. Of course, she does not breathe because she needs no air in her astral form. You will notice also the grayish pallor-like color which makes her appear as if she were almost carved from stone. On Earth, Susan was what you might call an ordinary sophisticated worldly woman. She had a business career, she smoked and attended cocktail parties, and she did numerous other things which are associated with the life one might normally find in a large city. She did not have time, however, for periods of meditation. And if she attended church, it was only on special occasions such as at Easter time, where she might show off some new finery, and while in church on those occasions she was not listening to the words of inspiration nor were her eyes used other than in peering about the church to see what the other females were wearing. So the day came for Susan when she must leave her familiar earth life and the live and chauffeurs and penthouses, furs and jewelry. While she did not willingly do so, her hour struck and she was forced to leave her body behind. Perhaps it was one of the physical conditions like cancer which caused Susan to leave her body. But whatever the cause, one thing is sure: Susan was not ready for her journey into a new world, a world which was entirely unfamiliar and strange, a world in which none of her earth things seemed to give her security and comfort. While there is nothing wrong perhaps with the way Susan lived on the earth except that she devoted too much of her time and concentrated too much of her attention on the superfluous and often unnecessary appurtenances of a highly exploited way of life. Because she devoted so much of her time, and concentrated so much of her energies into the acquisition of those superfluities, there was no time left to prepare for the future. When a small green caterpillar crawls under a leaf and spins himself into a cocoon, it is because the small still voice tells him to do so. And during the long winter months he will hang in a suspended state until the warm rays of the spring sunshine, then he will burst aside his little prison and will emerge a full-fledged beautiful butterfly. Like caterpillars and all other creeping, flying, crawling things on your earth plane, Susan too had a small still voice, but perhaps she loved more the sound of ice tinkling in a champagne glass, or perhaps the rustle of a new silk dress was much more musical in her ears. And so her time came and she was not prepared. Do you see the little lady coming down the corridor? She is Susan's mother. She has been coming here daily since her daughter was brought here. Susan's mother lived in another age. She was brought up on a farm. She was taught honest toil and the way of life of her kinfolk. But no matter how many cows had to be milked, or chickens fed, or bread to be baked, Susan's mother always found time to steal away in some corner with the family Bible, and there in her quiet moments of meditation she heard the whisper of the still small voice. And so when her hour struck she did not come into her new world unprepared. She did not arrive in a helpless inert state, more dead than alive. Instead she arose from her mortal flesh to her loved ones. She is living there now in a place some of the earth folks call Summerland. As for Susan, it may be several months before she can hear the sound of her mother's voice. Perhaps she will be awakened by the soft touch of her mother's tears upon her face. Meanwhile we here, who attend her and others like her, daily and hourly project into her consciousness the ray of healing and love. We send her strength and wisdom, and while she is being healed she is being taught the consciousness of her new world. She is being shown within her mind the beauty of the world which she almost lost. Yes. We can walk up and down these aisles and look into the faces of countless hundreds which are like Susan. Perhaps it was not the rustle of a new dress which drowned out the small voice. It could have been an alcoholic stupor, or it could have been a thousand other things with loud voices which are always shouting in your earth world. And so, my brothers and sisters who are walking the many pathways of life, in whatever you are doing in those pathways, pause for several moments every hour and listen for the small still voice. Perhaps it has been a long time since you heard it last, and perhaps it will take many efforts before you will hear it again. But it is there nevertheless. It always has been, ever since you were created, and it always will be, for the small voice is the God within you. No, we do not use knives or instruments upon those who are brought here. Only the radiant energy of God's pure love is used to fill the vacant places in their minds and hearts which were left unfilled in their earth lives. These great hospitals, if you can call them such on Venus, have witnessed the scenes of many happy reunions of those who have awakened to the light of their new day, and found the waiting arms of their loved ones. Yes, there are those, fortunately but a few, who do not awaken, nor will they, for in spite of all the love rays that we send them, they have, in their blindness, refused all aid. And so they must wander in the subastral blackness of their own minds until the day comes when they shall desire to be freed, and then they shall pray to their God, and he will send them a shaft of light, and like the tiny cocoon they will burst the bonds of their prison, for it is one of their own making, and thus they will emerge into the warm rays of a new-found sun on a warm day in a new springtime. And with their new wings they will float grandly off into the beauty of the spiritual world about them. Malva, Chapter 18, Greeting and Love to My Earth Brothers and Sisters. In our previous transmission we had begun our exploration of one of the great wards where we, here on Venus, care for and heal some of the Earth people who have passed into our worlds in a spiritually incapacitated condition. The importance of this subject cannot be overemphasized. I could devote many years of discussion to this particular concept without repeating myself. Because of its importance, I will continue from the place where we left off. I have pointed out to you a particular example, in the person of Susan. While all of the people who are lying in the many hundreds of beds which you see about you, all left their physical bodies, each in a different way, or rather from a different cause, yet they all had one thing in common. The one necessary and important ingredient in their lives was missing, and that ingredient is spiritual consciousness. I do not mean to imply that these people were willfully sinful. Most of the blame for the wrong which they did to themselves could be placed squarely upon the shoulders of an age and civilization which fostered such spiritual neglect. I might point out that in some cases the parents were largely responsible in not teaching a sufficiently strong spiritual attitude. So their children grew up and drifted into a material way of life. In order to understand more fully what actually happens when a person does not have spiritual consciousness in an earth plane existence, we will first examine the psychic body. I have partially explained this concept in a previous chapter. However, as we have progressed much further into our thought relationship, you will pardon me if I repeat some of this. The psychic body, such as Susan's or your own, is the sum total of all that you are, or all that you have been, in any and all previous spiritual and physical evolutions. For the time being, I am excluding the factor of your soul consciousness, as it will simplify somewhat our discussion. The psychic body, expressing the sum total of all these things and all your experiences, does so in one way. Each thought, each action, becomes a part of the psychic body as a tiny conglomerate mass of waveforms of pure spiritual energy. It is not like your earth electricity, inasmuch as it lives and is a part of a higher dimension. It is not dissipated by the time factor. Now you may wonder how a man progresses. Let me say first, however, that this psychic body is not usually some shapeless form or mass of energy as might be supposed, but rather assumes the same form and proportions as your physical body. This is because you have a strong sense of personal consciousness. I believe your earth scientist calls this the ego. Actually, as far as the psychic body is concerned, it is simply the outer shell-like covering, composed of energies which are coarser and harder because they are physical in origin. In the case of a violent murder, or where a person is very suddenly precipitated under duress into an astral world, he may be actually blown out of his hard shell-like covering, like a pea popped out of a pod. It is this shell-like covering which I call the thought form body, and its associations and origins in the physical world will form a ghost or apparition which may haunt its familiar or material environment. That is why it is so difficult to salvage such astral forms, as they lack the adhesive quality. This also is exactly what happens to a large degree in a suicide, but with this difference. The act of self-conclusion is one in which the person destroys his own thought form body by a strong act of will, which is necessary before he can go against the natural instincts of self-preservation. Thus you saw the residual remains of the psychic bodies of the suicides. Later on we will see other places where there are others who have lost their thought form bodies, or envelopes, in different ways. In this particular ward, as with Susan, these are the more normal cases. Now I will get into the explanation of the construction of the psychic body. Connecting up our thoughts again, we will see, under powerful observation, that these millions of tiny masses of waveforms appear to be in many sizes and shapes. They also reflect an infinite variety of patterns. Roughly speaking, we can divide these waveforms into two groups: those which were fashioned out of negative conditions, and those which were fashioned with positive conditions. They actually exist in two different realms or dimensions. The more extreme negative conditions may live through several spiritual and physical evolutions, while the weaker ones gradually fade and are replaced by others. Likewise do the weaker positive conditions. In both cases, however, we must assume that the person is progressing upward in his evolution. In the case then of both positive and negative waveforms, the gradual fading and replacing will be done with Str 6 and stronger, or shall I say more spiritual, expressions. Unfortunately, however, these strong negative experiences sometimes seem to form a core or nucleus which gathers about it other negative forms which will reflect, as some diseased condition, into the mind or physical body of the individual. This diseased condition can occur or manifest thousands of years after the original negation was incurred. Spiritual healing, in its true sense, means that a strong added outside mind force which is reflected into the psychic body, when combined with or added to the stronger or more positive waveforms of this psychic body, will rectify Sixara, raise these hard negative cause. For the benefit of you Earth people, your strongest and the most powerful positive energies contained in your psychic body are formed in your meditative periods when you become consciously aware of God and the great creative universe. And let your periods of meditation and contemplation be done, not in a tearful attitude of supplication which is sometimes called prayer, but do these things with the positive powerful assurance that you can see and sense the all-pervading wisdom and intellect reflected in all things about you. This positiveness is called faith in your earth words, and is the greatest instrument which you possess to aid you in your many flights in your countless evolutions into eternity. You can see now how it is possible to achieve spiritual progression by the constant rectification and the removal of waveforms in your psychic body, and do not forget that they must be replaced by the positive thought waveforms, which are your acts of kindness and love, your feeling of spiritual affinity with God, your impersonal attitudes toward your fellow man. For you cannot give selflessly, nor can you receive your greatest blessings in self-consciousness. Remember also that your psychic body is you. Your psychic body is the vessel or body which contains, or is linked to, the great fountainhead which you call God. Malva, Chapter 19. I would like to continue, if I may, with another discussion which is very closely related to the nature of things which were previously discussed, that of astral worlds. Every person on the pathway would like to know where they are going when they leave the earth plane, and that is only a natural attitude which is born out of the desire for security. Therefore a greater degree of faith could be expressed in each individual if he knew something of the place where he is going, when he leaves this physical body. You earth people have numerous rather vague ideas and explanations of these places. You may call them astral worlds, summerlands, or even heaven and hell or purgatory. Other people have some vague idea that an astral world is something like a big shelf or flat place floating out there in space somewhere. If you remember, your history books tell you that a few hundred years ago people believed the earth was a large flat place which was pushed around the sun by an angel, and that if you sailed a ship a little too far you would fall off of the edge. Of course such ideas are very infantile. Likewise are many of the ideas of the Earthman in regard to the dimensions which he calls astral worlds. Referring back to our original concept of energy and mass, mass is purely a product of energy reflected from a higher dimension, and that by changing the relationship of mass to its energy source would also change its apparent density or solidity semicolon, and with this change in density there are also other changes which automatically take place. Mass will reflect or refract light frequency in a different relationship. Such a mass will also be more or less affected by other factors, such as time and space. This was what your scientist Einstein tried to explain in his fourth dimensional hypothesis. It may surprise you and your Earth scientists to know that there are other planets in this solar system that you cannot see. This is so simply because their relationship as matter or mass to their energy source is such that it makes them non-reactive to any of your physical senses. You cannot see, hear, or smell, or otherwise feel such a mass or energy in any energy relationship other than your own, unless you are mediumistic or clairvoyant. I need not mention that this is the basis for what is called materialization, in which a quantity or mass is temporarily changed in its relationship to its energy source, into your own relationship, and thus temporarily your senses will be reactive to it. It must, however, revert back to its original relationship. Our planet Venus occupies such an energy relationship with the outwardly expressed mass of the planet that it is much more spiritual in nature, or shall I say more highly evolved, yet it still retains some of the qualities which make it reactive to your sense of sight. Your astronomer with his telescope sees it as a beautiful globe-shaped mass of cloud-like formations. He has never seen the surface of our planet. He believes it to be slightly smaller than his own Earth, but this is not so, because of the spiritual nature of the cloud-like masses which he sees. He has been unable to accurately determine the true size. This of course is of no particular consequence, except that it can be a strong point of argument with the many Earth minds. If your astronomer could construct a telescope with which he could see clairvoyantly into the universe about him, He would see innumerable planets revolving in their orbits, which he does not know are there, nor will he ever know in his present earthly consciousness. There are such invisible planets in our own solar system that revolve around our own sun and use its energies, which are, as I have said, energies which reside in another frequency dimension. With a moment's thought you will see that when a person passes, in a normal or more highly developed spiritual consciousness, he will automatically be attracted to the particular one of these invisible planets which is most suitable for his present stage of evolution. When he arrives there he will not, as some people suppose, float on a pink cloud or play a harp, nor do as described in any of the other foolishly contrived notions. He, as a more strongly developed person, will want to go right on living. He has, in a subconscious way, a strong thought pattern of previous lives and associations which are reflected into his conscious mind from the tiny waveforms which form his psychic body. He therefore will pick up the tools of his trade, shall we say, at the place where he left off on the earth in the earth consciousness and continue on from there. All this is done, however, with a much more highly advanced mental and spiritual perception. Actually, he is learning, through these countless evolutions, the ultimate way of life. Gradually he will lose the thought associations which were born in the lower, more physical life, which made it necessary, according to his concept, to express himself in physical ways. In his more advanced, spiritual evolution he will form new thought patterns which associate him more strongly with the infinite spiritual nature which comes from the fountainhead, and these expressions do not associate themselves with a physical form, such as moving the arms and legs, or in speech, or sight or hearing. Instead his mind will be occupied in expressing itself in a more universal nature. While he does not need clothing in the generally accepted way, he could, if he so desired, quickly construct any such clothing by directing energy through his mind. His universal sense of perception will supplant that of the five senses of his physical earth life. He will be able to perceive and conceive, instantaneously and simultaneously, countless numbers of dimensions. However, this is beyond conception in your present earth plane existence. I am trying to avoid any advanced abstract evaluations. I know the limitations of the world about you and of the thought patterns which are formed by living in such a world. In case there are some points in this last discussion which are not quite clear, I will explain them more fully in our next visit. So let us rest a while in peace. Malva, Chapter 20. Now that we have rested, let us again resume our quest into the infinities of man's evolution. In our previous discussion, we had emerged into something of the more abstract relationships. We had also gained some further insight into not only the development of man himself in his evolution, but also into some of the new worlds in which he would someday find himself. As the Avatar Christ spoke, "In my Father's house are many mansions." So we have now found out that those mansions are not pink clouds, neither are we buried in some tomb to remain until some such future day of liberation. In short, the more normal and natural sequence in man's many evolutions is such that he will at no time assume fantastic and irrelevant relationships with the highly ordained and conceived principles of the cosmic mind in any unnatural sequence in his evolution. He may impose upon himself certain restricted or destructive elements in his life and so express a retrograde concept of his evolution. Generally speaking, however, we may assume that if a man is a mason or a tailor in this life, he will find himself in his newly born and more spiritual condition on a planet which also expresses a higher degree of spiritual value. He will pick up and continue much in the fashion of where he left off. This is because, as I have told you, his whole true nature of personal expression is contained in his psychic body, to precipitate him into some high heavenly state where all things were unrelated to his concept of things and of what he is, would make him very distressed and unhappy. At some other time I will discuss more fully the more retrograde factors which sometimes enter into an individual's life. To you earth parents, may I say, you do not create a child. A mother grows a body in her womb. In the science of genetics it is supposed that all of the characteristics of a newborn infant are contained in the chromosomatic structures, but this is only partially true. A child may, through such a process, borrow or assume certain physical characteristics of the parents, but he does not in any sense borrow any of the spiritual. The spiritual factors are contained in the psychic body, and in its relationship to the superconsciousness. You mothers, or mothers-to-be, are only the instruments in the progression of some individual. Your son or daughter is not the product of this generation, but has clue-eat likely come through many such physical channels before arriving in your household. He may be even such an advanced soul that he may have chosen your particular household as best suited to his earth needs. Generally speaking, however, this is the exception rather than the rule. A proper evaluation of earth conditions from some psychic domain in which the person may be traveling is almost impossible. He usually gravitates or is attracted to some particular household in a manner of frequency relationship. It is something like this. He may feel your vibration and the association of the many vibrations around you. In remembering that your child came from some other world or dimension, you must also assume that there are numbers of these, and while some of them may relate very strongly to your earth world, yet beyond this, he may have lived in other worlds which were not so related. If you remember our talk on concept, and that it is valuable only in a relative sense, as far as your physical world is concerned. In the abstract sense, abstract in your way of thinking does not exist. You have related all things about you and evaluated them according to time, space and other related factors which deal with your own personal experiences. Thus you have created a world for yourself which is limited and finite. In the abstract, such limitation does not exist, as concept can perceive all things, instantaneously. Of course, let me say here, only God is the absolute abstract. And as far as I know, none of us has achieved such perfection. Getting back to the child and his relationship to you, you must, as I say, remember that he is a product, in a spiritual way, of many incarnations, and that he could have arrived in your home from some other dimension to which the present factors are entirely unrelated. The many science fiction magazines that have been published, and the many stories contained therein, may seem fantastic as they are entirely unrelated to your world, and while they were all conceived as fiction, you may be surprised to learn how factual many of them are. All in all, they may be said to be an outward symptom of the inward self, of man's desire to free himself from the obsessive structure of material life. I do not mean to infer that your child which has come to you through this process of evolution has been some fish or frog, or some many-horned monster which is often depicted in some of these stories, but only that man always assumes a relative form of body which will function best in the environment in which he lives. On your earth there has been a ceaseless struggle in mankind to orientate himself into a philosophy of life which would adequately separate the true spiritual factors of spiritual evolution from the seemingly scientifically supported factors of material evolution. Man's physical body is only the product of physical evolution which was conceived in infinite mind as a vehicle in which he could best function on your planet, but it must be in no wise misconstrued or mixed with the spiritual concept. The only factors of relationships which exist are the preconceived associations which are born out of the experience of physical life upon some material planet. This discourse, I hope, will begin your spiritual evolution toward your ultimate goal. For the one objective which evolves from your whole or countless evolutions resolves itself in a personal struggle of each individual to return to the fountainhead which has created and conceived him, and thus in his proper relationship man becomes an infinitely activated participant in the universal creation. I will return soon. Malva, Chapter 21. Our love to you again, brothers and sisters. It has suddenly occurred to me that I left you standing in one of the healing wards of our city of Azure while I have spent some time in a somewhat lengthy discourse. Yet if it seemed lengthy to you, may I say that I have touched upon a few of the more vital factors which relate to your very immediate future. By now you may be thinking that we here on Venus do nothing but heal the sick who have departed from your earth plane or to otherwise help them adjust themselves to their new spiritual home. This is not true. We have another very important element of work, which may be more to your liking. But in order to visualize its nature, we will again seek out another one of the great and mysterious rooms which compose this city. Now let us enter into a room which is somewhat different from the two previously visited. As we step through the doorway you see, and I believe you are quite surprised at what apparently looks like a large number of your Earthmen and women, each sitting at what very obviously is a desk which is faintly familiar and reminiscent of your school days.